Blog Talk Radio.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to another edition of Sports Urban Legend. Along with my co-host, Macaulay Matthew, I am, of course, with my mom. What's up, man? How you doing?
Hey, what's up? How's it going?
I'm all right. You?
Doing well, man. I'm hot as hell right now.
I hear you. I hear you, man. But, we're going to talk about, baseball. Then we don't with baseball, talk about the Hall of Fame induction ceremony of Mike Piazza and Ken Griffey Jr. later today, I should say, and also talk about what's the current state of both teams, the Mets, the Yankees, basketball, with Derrick Rose's prediction of the NBA season. We'll also talk about, what's going on in WWE, the draft that just went Tuesday night with the first ever SmackDown episode, regular episodic episode of SmackDown. And, of course, we're going to preview Battleground, you know, the pay-per-view event and what happened on Raw. And, of course, most importantly, the number is 917-388-4189. That's 917-388-4189. So feel free to talk about any of these topics and more. You know, get your, if you feel like you got anything you want to get off your chest, this is the perfect outlet to do that. So thank you in advance for speaking your mind and, of course, listening to another episode of Sports of Religion. But, of course, me, William Ramo, and Mokali Matthew on the other line. But, yes, as we were mentioning, let's lead off with some baseball here. And today, you know, we're, Major League Baseball is going to induct two guys who should have been first ballot Hall of Famers. Obviously, Ken Griffey is, and he has the highest voting in Major League history. I believe it's, what, 99-something? It might be. It's just slightly above the legendary Met pitcher Tom Seaver. Tom Seaver is going to be joined by another Met great, and that's Mike Piazza. So Mike Piazza, after his fourth try, he's gonna finally make it in, you know, into the Hall of Fame. And as you are obviously, you're a Yankee fan, like me. You know, we're both baseball fans. You know, been baseball fans since the 90s. Obviously you've seen a lot of Yankee championships, but when Mike Piazza got traded to the Mets in 98, it changed the whole complexion of the team. I mean, the team, you know, went from, you know, losers, basically, especially after the wonderful 80s team that the Mets had in the 90s, I mean, rather in the 80s, you know, the Mets had a lot of hard times because they treated a lot of their, you know, their great players like Mookie and Dykstra and, you know, like other guys via free agency, like Daryl Strawberry going to the Dodgers. And as a result, the Mets, you know, they had a lot of hard times. And in 92-93, they tried to go for it and try to do it the Yankee way, which didn't work out for them. They end up having the worst team money could buy that year, you know, highlighted by their poster child, Bobby Bonilla, who coincidentally the Mets are still paying him, you know, to this day. But that's another story for another time. Basically, you know, the Mets went through a lot of hardship, and of course the Mets fans, I mean, you know, the hardship the Mets fans go through, speaking from a fellow Mets fan, it's downright legendary. Only the Cubs would surpass that, and the Red Sox prior to 2004, you know, the futility of, you know, just watching the shoe drop, you know, no matter how good your team is. But in any case, when Piazza got traded to the Mets, it just, you know, made Mets, you know, this close to being a championship caliber team. I mean, you know, you had Piazza, you had a dominant pitching rotation, you know, later on in 99, you know, highlighted by Leiter. And that one year in 2000 when, you know, Hampton, you know, pitched for the Mets and, you know, he became the NLCS MVP. I think he won, 16 games that year following a 22 win season when he was with the Astros, you know, prior to the blockbuster trade that brought him to New York, you know, before, you know, he left the Mets following the 2000 season because of a quote-unquote better school system in Denver instead of that huge albatross of a contract that the Rockies foolishly gave them. But, again, that's another story for another time. But it's good to see, that Piazza finally gets his rightful place in Cooperstown. And, you know, he left a lot of memorable memories. His epic feud with the Braves, highlighted by the 9/11 game, which, I mean, that home run, man, that's it was like a storybook ending, you know, to a very horrible and somber day, you know, 11 days after the worst attack on American soil. That game, you know, brought a lot of people joy. And Chipper Jones said, you know, the huge hater and rival, he said that, if I'm not mistaken, it was him who said that he didn't mind, for one day, he didn't mind that, you know, the Braves lost, you know, that game. Because, you know, the city of New York and America at whole needed, you know, Mets to have that happy ending, you know. And, of course, you know, Mets' other rivals, the Yankees, the epic battles, the Clemens, his feud with Clemens, because, man, I mean, Piazza might as well did real estate on Clemens, because he simply just owned that guy. And, of course, as a result, even though Clemens won't admit it, it led to him getting his head beamed just prior to the All-Star game. And then afterwards, later that year, he faced him in the World Series, and he tried to throw the bat at Piazza, because obviously, according to Clemens, he thought it was the ball, which Joe Torre, to this day, literally to this day, a few days ago, defended him and said that he thinks that Clemens thought it was the ball, but. Mac, I don't know about you. I mean, me and you, we've never played a game in baseball. But if I'm not mistaken, if you're trying to throw somebody out at first, don't you feel the ball? And how about a novel concept? Don't you throw the ball to first base and not at the batter?
Well, I think what happened was he probably thought it was the ball and then realized it's not the ball, it's a bat, and then just threw it quickly out of his hand when he realized it was just the end of a bat rather than the ball. I mean, that's probably what was in his mind. But then again, I can't tell you what he was thinking at that time.
He probably couldn't tell you what he was thinking about at that mind at that day too, because he was probably roided up, allegedly. You know, so he probably don't remember what happened that day too. But I mean, come on. That was uncalled for. How are you going to throw a broken piece of bat at somebody and he said he thought it was the ball? The ball, come on. A ball and a broken bat, even a full-size bat, they're shaped differently than a ball. A ball is circle, is shaped like a circle, and a bat is, you know, like a cylinder shape. Not to mention the thing was broken up, so it was probably like a crooked triangle or something, a broken up cylinder or something. I don't know how you could describe it. Not a mathematician or something, but it clearly wasn't. You could tell the difference between a ball and a broken bat.
Yeah, I can't tell you what was in his mind. Like, I don't know, but I mean, back to Piazza for a sec here. I mean, Piazza, it's well-deserved. He's one of the greatest hitting catchers in baseball history, by far.
Mm-hmm.
I know there's been some, you know, there's been some speculation and some whispers about him possibly using PEDs, although he's never been tested, you know. But notwithstanding, I mean, he's definitely one of the greatest hitters we've ever seen. And definitely one of the greatest Mets players we've ever seen. And,
absolutely.
It's a good weekend. This team get honored, and it's great for the Mets organization. You know, they have another guy that's going to go into the Hall of Fame to represent their organization.
I agree with you wholeheartedly. And Piazza, he becomes the first positional player to go into the Hall of Fame. Obviously, they've had a lot of former Mets go into the Hall of Fame. Gary Carter, Willie Mays, obviously he retired as a Met. He didn't play that maybe like 2 years with the Mets. Yogi Berra, he had like what 9 at bats, but obviously he's a Yankee. Roberto Alomar, who obviously wasn't in his heyday as he was with the Orioles or the Blue Jays or of course the Indians, where he made that perfect double play combination with Omar Vizquel. But yeah, finally the Mets have a guy, you know, a Hall of Fame guy going in as a Hall of Fame, and now he joins Tom Seaver as the only two players in history to go into get inducted into the Hall of Fame as a Met. So, I mean, that's a amazing honor. I wish I could have saw it in person, but, you know, what can you do? I'm just happy for him, and it's well-deserved. And he's going into the Hall of Fame with a guy who could have been a Met. I think it was in 99. He could have been traded to the Mets, but and I'm of course talking about the legendary Ken Griffey Jr. He turned down the trade to go to the Mets, and instead he went to the Reds and ended it, you know, finish off his career with the Reds after, you know, starting off his career with the Mariners, which is the team he's going into the Hall of Fame. He becomes the first Mariner to go into the Hall of Fame instead of the Reds, because obviously I think the Reds have more numbers retired or something like that. So that, obviously, you know, the Reds, the Yankees, those teams, they have a bunch of Hall of Famers in the Hall of Fame. That goes without saying. But, you know, it's a great honor for Ken Griffey Jr. I mean, that guy, man, he was a legendary slugger. I mean, even current Met, Michael Conforto, he wears number 30 in honor of him, and, you know, his stroke at the plate, he idolized him, and that's why he has the batting stance. So, I mean, Ken Griffey Jr., his effect on the game is still, prevalent. And not to mention this guy, man. When he swings the bat, man, it's like he just turns on the ball. He doesn't even like. He's not like Dave Winfield or Cliff Floyd that he has to swing his whole body into it. He just makes like small contact. Like he could just look like he's trying to get a base hit or something, and he could just hit it out of the park. Kind of like Barry Bonds in his alleged steroid days, you know, in San Francisco, you know. He could just make contact and it's just out of there with no effort.
Yeah, but, I mean, Griffey, you know, Ken Griffey was, he's one of the greatest hitters of all time. And, man, when he was on the Mariners, the Mariners had a great team during the mid-90s. You know, they probably should have won a championship there, but you know, several times they encountered the Yankees, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he was the face of baseball during the 90s before Jeter, you know. And he's definitely also deserving of this honor. And he's part of the 500 club, right? He has more than 500 home runs.
He does. I can't remember his numbers, but he's on the 500 club.
Yeah, man, one of the greatest power hitters you ever see.
Yeah, absolutely. And he would have got there quicker if he, you know, did a little help, and not to mention stayed healthy, because towards the end of his career with the Reds, he was injury prone, you know.
Yeah.
But he's a phenomenal player, a great defensive center fielder. I mean, his home runs is just as legendary as him leaping, you know, over the wall and robbing people of home runs. One in the All-Star game, I think it was 2002 when he robbed Barry Bonds of a home run, a possible home run, and, you know, Yeah, Ken Griffey Jr., man. He was a showstopper, man.
Yeah, definitely. Should have won the championship, but
yeah.
Mariners, they came up short during the 90s.
Yeah, they sure did. A lot of great teams in every sport came up short in the 90s. You know, our
yeah.
Knicks, all the teams facing the Jordan, Bulls of the 90s,
mm-hmm.
the Cleveland Indians in 95 and 97. The list goes on and on. I mean, it's extremely hard to win a championship.
Really?
I mean, look at the Braves. The Braves had all those, they had Smoltz, Glavine, and Maddox, and they only won in 95, you know. 14 years of what, like straight division titles, and, you know, they were fortunate to have that title, you know, even though we all expected them to win more. Or even the 86 Mets. I mean, if they had the wild card in the 80s, they would have made the wild card every – they would have went to the playoffs every year from, like, 84 all the way up to, what, 89. So, you know, that's just the luck of the draw. I mean, you could even go into the Giants. I think it was 93. The Giants had, like, I think, like, 103 wins, and they still didn't make it to the playoffs. I mean, that's, you know, that's just, you know, the way how the game was at the time. But, you know, congratulations to both men. You know, well-deserved honor.
Yeah. What time is it tomorrow?
I think it's 1 o'clock, but I'm not sure. You know, I have
to
check.
To see it.
Yeah, I'm not going to. Unfortunately, I won't be able to see it either. I'm going to have to watch it on replay. Myself too, but let's shift gears to the current team. Mets on Sunday, last Sunday, Jacob DeGrom had an awesome performance. He had the best performance of his career. He had a one-hit shutout, and the only hit he gave up was to the pitcher. So I think that was in the fifth inning. But other than that, he was flawless, and you know, it's kind of like Charles Dickens' Tale of Two Cities. You know, it was the best of times. It was the worst of times because last Sunday he had the best start of his career. He threw on a one hitter today, or I should say, like, you know, Saturday night. You know, he couldn't even get out of the fourth inning. You know, and what should have been a pitcher duel between him and Jose Fernandez was anything but. It was just a sloppy game. It was definitely not that, you know, what it was, you know, advertised, you know. Jose Fernandez, you know, he got bailed out by a horrible Met hitting team with runners in scoring position. And the Mets only managed to score a measly 2 runs throughout the whole game. And I think the Marlins won what? Trying to think off the top of my head. It was probably 6-2, you know, Mets had opportunities. They had bases loaded opportunities, and they, you know, they never could cash in, you know. But, you know, what was I going to say? You know, now they got to try to, win the series later today because they won Friday night. You know, Verrett, you know, pitched that game. And Familia, he recorded his, what, I think 33rd save of the year, which was his 50th overall, dating back into, I think, August of last year. So, obviously, the playoffs don't count, or else, as we all know, unfortunately, in the World Series, you know, he blew all 3 saves, which was a World Series record, but that doesn't count. But, yeah, I mean, congratulations to Familia. He recorded 50 straight saves in the, like I said, dating back to last year. And the only bad game he had, he's had a few that came off the top of my head. The one against the Yankees that, you know, we both witnessed. And the worst one he had so far this year was he came into a game with a 4-run lead, a non-save situation, obviously, and he blew the game into a tie. And it wasn't counted as a blown save because it wasn't a save. It was not a save opportunity when he came in. So, you know, other than those two games, he's been flawless. He's had you know, this past week he's had a few games where, he almost blew the game. There was one game he I think he had like two out hits. Like there was like he had nobody on, and then he I think he might have loaded the bases, but he got out of it. And I think the following day, the Mets made error. It might have been the Reyes that made an error. I can't remember. And there was bases loaded, nobody out. Let me repeat that again. You heard right. Bases loaded, nobody out. He got one of the guys to I think pop up or something. I can't remember what happened. He might have got the guy to pop up, and then he got the guy to bounce into a double play. I can't remember who it was. It was, somebody bounced into a double play, you know. But basically, Fumero has been awesome, and now the Mets have to win this series. But shifting gears to the Yankees, your guys are playing the Giants right now, and they lost in extra innings. I think it was the 12th, 2-1 to the Giants. What's your thoughts?
Yeah, 2-1, and yesterday we won the game. What was it, 3-2? Bullpen almost gave it up there. Yankees have been playing well lately. They've won they won 3 out of 4 against the Royals before this series, and so far they're tied in this series with the Giants. So tomorrow is the rubber game. The Giants actually have the second best record in baseball behind the Cubs right now, and the San Francisco Giants. Since 2010, they've been winning the World Series every 2 years. Last time they won was 2014. So this should be another year where Giants fans are hoping they win the World Series again. So hopefully, if you're a Cubs fan or any other baseball fan, you hope that doesn't happen.
Oh, yeah. I hope they will.
They're playing real well now. That, you know, they have pitching. They have Cueto, and the offense is not bad either. So they're looking real good right now. Yeah. So
that Bumgarner is scary. He could. He's a legitimate hitter.
For real. You know,
and Mets have some guys on their team, their pitching rotation, who can hit. Who's more of a threat with guys and knocking somebody in with runners in scoring position, and the players are right now, but. Yeah, Giants are no joke. They got that, just like the Royals these past couple of years, they have teams that are experienced in the World Series, and they've won.
Yeah.
So,
Giants looking to win their fourth championship in the last 6 years this year.
Well, I know that makes happy.
Chris Mad Dog Russo happy.
Yeah, it sure does.
Big Giants fan.
There's no doubt about that. But the Knicks. What's his name? I'm trying to remember. Derrick Rose. Yeah, he was basically picking that the Knicks are going to be battling. He thinks that the Knicks are right up there with the Warriors when it comes to talent.
I don't know about that.
Yeah, I think the Knicks is a very talented team, but I think I would have to definitely disagree with that. I mean, I hope they pull an upset. Don't get me wrong, but the Warriors would on paper beat the Knicks. You know, talent wise, on paper wise, they would beat the Knicks, and that was before they even got Durant. So.
Wow.
You know, they got – Warriors is not the only team they have to worry about. They got to worry about, of course, the Cavaliers, who pulled off impossible, you know, 3-1, you know, overcame a 3-1 deficit in the NBA Finals. So you also got to look at that team as a, you know, obviously the defending champions. You got to give them the credit that they're the team to beat too. So
yeah,
you know, we got to play the game.
And now, yeah, but all these teams have to beat the Illuminati. Come on.
What did you say? No, I didn't hear what you said. Repeat
the Illuminati. Come on, man.
No.
Like, that's a super system.
Right, because people are accused of, you know, them blowing a 3-1 deficit. You know, and people are also alluding to Aisha Curry saying that the thing, you know, that she thinks it was rigged. So some people, you know, are attributing it to, you know, the alleged secret society. But, yeah, we'll see what happens. The Knicks, you know, they're talented, you know. Hopefully they can shock the world and bring their first title back, the first title back since 1973. It's been a long time coming.
Let's hope Rose's knees don't explode like what's his name from South Park when he had the balls in his knees? Remember that episode?
Oh, right, Kyle. Yeah, I remember that episode.
Kyle, yeah.
Yeah, I remember.
Let's hope that doesn't happen.
Speaking of championship, yeah, man. Let's talk about the WWE Battleground, but I guess before we go,
Oh, that's tomorrow, right?
Yeah, it's tomorrow night, man.
But
yeah,
I might get to see that maybe.
Yeah, but I guess before we get to that, let's recap the week of Raw so far. It was a pretty good week. The Raw was a very good episode. The only thing I didn't like was that screwy ending at the end, which is what I was afraid of, them having a last-minute, you know, they made the announcement, like, last week that they were going to have the, you know, what's it, you know, Dean Ambrose defend the WWE title against Seth Rollins, even though they're going to have the match later tonight. I was like, yeah, it makes no sense for them to have the match because they might make him lose, like, you know, they might make him lose the title again. You know what I mean?
Sure.
So basically, ending that made both of the guys pin each other at the same time, and then they ended Raw with Stephanie handing Seth Rollins the title. So everybody was thinking that Seth Rollins won the title, which was a silly ending. And then afterwards, on SmackDown, you know, Tuesday Night SmackDown, which, you know, was the first episode of the, you know, of SmackDown being live for good, not on a special occasion kind of thing, but for good. Now they had the draft, and most notably, trying to think, they had New Day got drafted by Raw. Cena is on SmackDown. Dean Ambrose is on SmackDown with the WWE title. Miz is the Intercontinental Champion. Well, Miz is, I think, on trying to remember. He's on SmackDown.
Raw?
Is Miz on Raw? I think he's on SmackDown, but I could be wrong.
I got to go check again. I thought he was on Raw.
You might be right. Bray Wyatt is definitely on SmackDown. Eric Rowan is
Stack.
On Raw Stack too. But I think it's close, but Raw is Stack. They do have SmackDown does have Dean Ambrose. They do have
Miz is on SmackDown.
Yeah, Miz is on SmackDown. Randy Orton's on SmackDown. Bray Wyatt's on SmackDown. I'm sure there's other people that I can't think off the top of my head that's on. Obviously, Cena's there. AJ Styles is on SmackDown. Right.
Dean Ambrose.
And then on Raw, Dean Ambrose. And on Raw, they have, you know, Seth Rollins, the number one pick overall. And I think that, I thought it was silly that they're going to reward Raw with an extra pick just because they have a three-hour show. That's not – I mean, if we're trying to pretend like Raw and SmackDown are you know, on even playing fields and that, you know, they're equal now and, you know, there's no bias towards Raw, then Raw should have had two picks too. It's not SmackDown's fault that they have a three-hour show.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? If Raw and SmackDown were legit, you know, companies, brands that weren't, you know, part of WWE. It wasn't, you know, obviously scripted is what I'm trying to say. Because it should have been, SmackDown should have the extra pick because SmackDown has a one less hour. That would be like rewarding the Yankees with an extra draft pick because they have more money than the Marlins. It just doesn't make sense to me. Why would you reward the show that has the most hours, which means they make the most money by, you know what I mean? That would be like giving Goliath, I don't know, sword, a shield, and David having just a slingshot, which is obviously what happened. I mean,
But then again, it makes sense because
over a match.
But then again, it makes sense because they have 3 hours to fill, so they're gonna need more superstars in SmackDown. You know.
I understand that, but that's not SmackDown's problem. If they want to even the playing field, then put Raw back on 2 hours. Problem solved.
True.
But they're not going to do that
Raw
for money.
Raw has always been the biggest show. You know, Raw has always been the biggest show.
But they're trying to pretend like it's even playing field now. That's what they're having to
draft. Even playing field. Raw will still be the biggest show. Let's be real about this.
Of course, but for storyline purposes, they're saying SmackDown's going to try to prove that they're the better show and, you know, they're on an even playing field now and they're going to battle out to see who's the best one. You know, obviously Raw is, you know, still the flagship show, but for storyline purposes, they're acting like SmackDown has a chance to overtake Raw.
Which will never happen.
Yeah, it will never happen because of about to happen. But yeah, there was another rematch for
people,
the title.
I mean, watch Monday night. People are more open to watching Monday night prime time than Tuesday night prime time. Do you know what it is?
Yeah. Yeah. It's a new territory because Raw has been an institution. It's been, you know, live ever since the Monday Night Wars with WCW in the 90s. So SmackDown being new is a novelty, you know. So we'll see over time how if fans will support Raw on live because fans have been asking for Raw to be rather SmackDown to be live for years. So we'll see how the fans support the show. Not to mention Dean Ambrose is a champion. Well, hopefully that'll still be the case tomorrow night. Or should I say later today? Cause, you know, we're at here right now, so we'll see what happens.
Yep.
But yeah, here's the predictions. Let's see. Rusev versus Ryder. I think Rusev's still gonna win. No doubt about that. What do you think?
Yeah, I think Rusev will win also.
All right. Let's move on to Wyatt versus New Day. This is a tough one. I could see it going either way, but I think New Day will win because Wyatt family, they're broken up. Braun Strowman is going to be on Raw, so I don't see the point of them making them win, you know, and basically two-thirds of the team is broken up already. What you think?
Yeah, I'm going with New Day.
Yeah, me too. All right, Darren Young versus Miz. I think Darren Young's going to win the title because, you know, they had the whole campaign of make Darren Young great again. And, yeah, I think Miz, as champion, has run his course, you know, the Intercontinental Championship. So, yeah, I think Darren Young's going to win. If he doesn't win now with the momentum that he has, it's going to be a long time that he'll win it, if ever. So I think Darren Young will win. What about you?
I think Darren Young will win, but not the title. I could see him winning by count out or disqualification. I think he'll win in a rematch at SummerSlam.
I know what
you're going to
say, SummerSlam. Yeah, see, as soon as you – yeah, not, I think you're right. You have a point there. I think I'd have to agree with you. So, yeah, on paper, he'll win, but Miz will retain. You convinced me. Kevin Owens versus Sami Zayn. Now, this is an interesting rematch. Unlike Baron Corbin and Ziggler, which I think they're both on the same show again, if I'm not mistaken. So that might happen again. Wow, this is a real good one. I think Kevin Owens will win, though, because Kevin Owens, you know, he's like the future Intercontinental Champion. He's the future world champion. I think Kevin Owens will win, even though it'd be nice to see the underdog Sami Zayn win. But we'll see what happens. What do you think?
I think Kevin Owens will win.
All right. What about Cena, Enzo Amore, and, you know, Big Kaz versus The Club? I think The Club will win, but they'll beat Enzo Amore and John Cena's not going to get pinned. But then I can see Cena winning, but not pinning AJ Styles. Maybe, you know what? I'm going to pick Cena beating, what's his name? Karl Anderson. I changed my mind. Cena defeats Karl Anderson.
I think Cena, Enzo, and Cass will win. I see either Amari or Cass pinning one of the club members.
All right. And finally, Dean Ambrose versus Seth Rollins and Roman Reigns. I could see this going either way. I'm hoping that Dean Ambrose will win and, hold on to the title for at least another month, man. I think it's too early to take the title off him. But I could clearly see them winning. I could see Rollins or Reigns winning, you know, especially if Reigns turn heel. I could see it going either way, you know. But rather Ambrose will win. Yeah, I'm gonna pick Ambrose to win. I want him to win, and I hope he wins. I could see anybody else winning, but you know, we'll see what happens later tonight. Do you have anything you'd like to say?
Check out my show IMAC every Saturday at 11. Come back here, check out Sports of Religion every Sunday at midnight. Almost forgot there.
All right, and check out this show, Sports of Religion. With me, Wayne Ramon, and Macaulay Matthews.